from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com's homepage on the MixLR feed. If you're listening on WakeUpCallDT.com on your desktop or your laptop, the show is playing automatically. If you're listening on your phone, make sure you hit the MixLR feed. And if you're listening straight from my live feed, it's MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. So, I want to thank MixLR and I want to thank Webs.com for making this possible for me to get back to you live. And at the end of the show, I will be having a huge announcement for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. We've tried a few things over the years, and I am now confident in where we are going with live broadcasts. So make sure that you tune in to find out exactly what that news will be at the end of today's show, right before 10 a.m. Eastern time. So make sure you listen into that. Once again, this is Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Of course, I'm Dan Tortora, and I'm here with you to discuss a lot of different things today. I'm going to be airing my interviews with Syracuse Orange men's basketball players. And during the show today, you will hear from the likes of Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, Daywan Coleman, and Trevor Cooney. I'll also be talking about the Syracuse men's basketball team as a whole, as Jim Boeheim is set to return after a 9-game stint by Mike Hopkins, where Mike went 4 wins and 5 losses. I'll also be talking about what's going to be happening at halftime of the Syracuse-North Carolina game inside the Carrier Dome, as well as Beyonce coming back to the Super Bowl and some other signature pieces of the show, one of those that I will be starting with in just a few moments, and that being the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street. So there's plenty to talk about. NFL will be in the show today, Syracuse basketball, as well as some more bits and pieces of what's going on here in the sports world, as well as outside of the sports world, because those of you that have listened to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora before know that this show is all about where sports truly meets life. So as we get started here, I want to start with something that literally right before I went on the air, it hit my Twitter feed, and I have to respond to it. And ironically, crazily, I guess we can say, it's not in the annoying moment of the week. Probably should be, but it's not. It's just outside of it. Luckily for them, I picked my annoying moment of the week. But the issue that I'm talking about, the problem, I think, with, here's the thing with Twitter. I know that it's good to get out to people. I utilize it to speak with people that I would never have spoken with before, connect with fans. You are all amazing. The 1,400 plus of you that are following me on Twitter at CallDT. If you're not following me, make sure you do so. At CallDT, C-A-L-L-D-T. And everyone that is responding to the post, looking at the post, clicking on the links, the last time I got my numbers over 200,000 impressions over a 28-day period, so over 200,000 interactions with me in less than a month. So thank you to all the support on Twitter. I want to talk about something with Twitter, though, that it's not the fault of, you know, I guess it is the fault of some people using Twitter. It obviously is, but here's the thing. I was sitting on press row at a Syracuse men's basketball game. It was actually a Syracuse-Clemson game in the Carrier Dome. And while I'm sitting on press row, I have the Baldwinsville High School band behind me, the Baldwinsville Bees. They're behind me. And in front of them is Syracuse's cheerleading group. And then there's me sitting there. And I have my Twitter feed up because, as you know, I'm always on Twitter at CallDT during games, giving you my thoughts and opinions on what's happening in the game. So I'm giving my thoughts and my opinions, and I have my Twitter feed up, and then my feed refreshes itself, and at the top of my feed, there's a half-naked woman. And here's the thing. I can't control what people put up. I can't control what you say. I can't control what the next person says. But it's just to me, it's common courtesy. And the funny thing is, it was Peaceful Quotes is the Twitter handle. Well, the Twitter name. I'm not sure what the handle is, but it was Peaceful Quotes. So you think quotes about God, quotes about peace, quotes about happiness, quotes about relaxing, that's what you would get. And it was a half-naked woman, and it was like lingerie redhead, and it's just up there. So I got to wait for the feed to refresh so I can write a message on there so I don't look like a scumbag, because it has nothing to do with me, but it refreshes on your feed, and it's just what people post. So somebody posted something this morning that caught my eye because of how idiotic and crazy this statement is. Dating a porn star is as awesome as it sounds. It's probably not. I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm going to venture to say no thank you. Dating a porn star is as awesome as it sounds. And this is a random thing on my feed. Now, I follow sports people, people in the community. I follow fans. And randomly things will come up that you have. I mean, I'm looking at my Twitter feed right now. Black outfits are elegant. And there's just outfits of girls. There's sports in here. There is somebody talking on my feed. There's a picture of an old man. There is a picture of people living in Africa from the United Nations, which is actually a positive message. But there's random things and there's pictures of baby samples, Iams dog food, batteries, and Quaker steak oatmeal. So some people might be saying, Dan, who are you following? But here's the thing. I'm following people, you know, for a purpose, for a reason, that put up good messages. And then every once in a while you get these crazy messages. But when you're sitting at a game and you're trying to do your job and somebody puts up half-naked redhead, to me, you know, people look at you and they're like, what is he looking up on his computer? I'm not looking up anything. I'm trying to type that Tyler Lydon just hit a 3, and you're getting these crazy messages on here. And the message, like I said, that was up on my Twitter feed this morning was, dating a porn star is as awesome as it sounds. I don't think STDs sound favorable. And I'm not saying that all porn stars have STDs. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, think about it this way, okay? A porn star is someone who has sex for money. Kind of like a hooker, right? You have sex for money, they videotape it, and they show it to everybody. So there's a bunch of people bent up in that. You can see people with your girlfriend online. That's what she does for a living. Like, she gives you a kiss, she's laying in bed with you, she's like, oh, honey, thank you for bringing me my coffee, that's so sweet. I've got to go to work. All right, babe, love you. Don't do it in the mouth. I mean, it's a very weird scenario. I don't think dating, I know for a fact, I would venture to say, though I have never done it myself, that dating a porn star would be terrible. If you're a man that's worried about somebody cheating on you, she is all the time. But honey, listen, it's my job. Like, it's what I have to do. It's how I make money. It's what I like. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So to the person on my Twitter feed that wrote that dating a porn star is as awesome as it sounds, I think maybe you should live a little, see things, walk outside, think about it. It might help you out. And that brings me, ironically, it wasn't, like I said, in my annoying moment of the week. This is my annoying moment of the week.
Dan Tortora proudly brings you...
Is that for real? Are you kidding me?
The annoying moment of the week.
I don't know how to respond to this.
Presented by Carvel DeWitt, 4322 East Genesee Street. It's what happy tastes like.
Do you have to be that crazy? I guess so.
And for my annoying moment of the week, for this week, probably for every week since he was brought into the NFL. Even before that, in the NFL draft. But it's fitting for this week. because there's a lot around it that I need to get off my chest. My annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, right at the end of Erie Boulevard, minutes from Manly Fieldhouse and the Carrier Dome. So I thank Carvel for this. I thank Carvel for the opportunity that they have given me for years. We're now in our seventh year of working together. And I'm very, very proud to say that. It means a lot to me. And they give me the opportunity through the annoying moment of the week, which is a segment I created years ago, and Carvel jumped on right away, is they give me an opportunity to basically go off about whatever I want to go off about. Respectfully, you know me, I'm not a guy that's swearing, screaming. If it's yelling coming out of my mouth, it's funny, it's exciting, I hope that you enjoy it. Many people in the past have appreciated the annoying moment of the week, and I hope that you do as well. My annoying moment of the week for this week, and like I said, for probably eternity, if they keep talking about this person, is Johnny Manziel. I'm done with it. Don't call him Johnny Football, because he's not. He doesn't play. He's not a starter. Well, Dan, he plays sometimes. I don't care. You want to talk about, you want to put football at the end of somebody's name? Cam Football for Cam Newton, okay? Cam Football. Brady Football. That would probably make the most sense, is Brady Football. Palmer Football. Those make sense. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, NFL, stud, star. No! Get out of here. It's done. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. This guy should have never been drafted, and that's not me wishing bad on him. That's just me stating an obvious. 20-plus teams passed on him, including the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys are not always known to be the smartest team when they go to be picking up people. For example, Greg Hardy. They don't pick up the best always, but they passed on Johnny Manziel. So when I look at Johnny Manziel and I look at all of this around him, oh, he didn't do right at the end of the season. He's still in the news today. He's still in the news. Broncos going with Peyton Manning. Johnny Manziel didn't finish the season off strong. I don't care. Are the Browns in the playoffs? No. Were the Browns going to make the playoffs? No. Is Johnny Manziel a good leader? I'm going to venture to say no. Because what has he shown me over the years that would be strong leadership, good leadership? There's nothing. The man gets in trouble. There's articles written about him, underage drinking, how he handles his life, how he parties, what's he doing. Johnny Manziel to me is a joke. He's ridiculous. It's stupid to talk about, well, what, you know, what if he, you know, in the future, and oh, he failed his audition. And who is he auditioning for? 20-plus teams said when he was at his college days and going into the draft, 20-plus NFL teams out of 32 said, no, thank you. What has he done to audition for those teams now? What has he done to show any of the teams that said no to him in the NFL draft that he should be on the team? Nothing. He's done nothing. He has crazy throws. Well, Dan, he can run. Cam Newton can run. And Cam Newton's team has the best record in the NFL. Cam Newton can run. Okay? I thought Cam Newton was selfish. Going in to the NFL, I thought he was selfish. Coming from Auburn, I thought it was all about Cam. And I talked to Joe Theismann, had him on my show, Super Bowl champion Joe Theismann. And Joe and I were talking about Cam. And we thought that when he came into the NFL that he could be a flop. And we both had to come on the next show and say, you know what, we were wrong. We were wrong about Cam Newton. He stepped it up. But I'll tell you, he went one step further this season. Because to me, he became more about the team this season, which is why the team's doing better this season. When has Johnny Football shown you that he cares about this team? When has he shown you that he cares about anybody but himself? It is a joke and it is a mockery to the sport of football. And for me personally, who knows these athletes that start in high school to college, of my relationship with them, I talk to them in high school, have them on the show, we talk about recruiting, where are you going to be going, they decide on where they're going. You can check out all of those on wakeupcalldt.com go to the recruiting tab, and then you can pick whatever year of recruits you want to listen to. Syracuse incoming recruits for 2016, Syracuse incoming recruits 2017, as well as recruits around the country for 16, 17, 18, and obviously we'll be moving beyond that shortly, I am sure, because recruiting starts when some kids are 7 at this point now. So, Johnny Manziel, when I look at him, I look back and I say, okay, I start building relationships with student-athletes when they're in high school. I start building relationships with them there, I follow them through college, and then I see them try and work out, go pro, get an opportunity with one of 32 NFL teams, if not, try the CFL, if not, try the AFL, if not, go here, go there, go everywhere. So the fact that Johnny Manziel is even in the NFL, it pisses me off. It honestly pisses me off, because what role model is he for kids? If I had a child right now, would I want them watching Johnny Manziel? No. There'd be no reason to. Why would you want to watch a losing quarterback who can't lead anything? Maybe he can lead himself out of the bar, but he doesn't even do that. So why keep a guy like Johnny and talk about every single week, what team's Johnny going to be on? Is Johnny good enough? Should Mike, did they fire Mike Pettin because he didn't handle the Johnny Manziel thing correctly? No! The Browns don't keep coaches because they can't figure it out. Since 1999, upon their return, the Cleveland Browns have not been able to figure out what it's like to win in the NFL. As I jokingly say, but there is some truth to it, the Browns have officially never come back since they left. Since they became the Baltimore Ravens, they've never officially come back into the league. Johnny Manziel is not your answer. There's a reason why they passed on you, Johnny. Then they took you. Then fans clamored for you. And it wasn't worth it. He's not a good quarterback. He's not a good leader. You cannot tell me he throws better than 90% of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now that start. You can't tell me that he runs better than the Cam Newtons of the world. You can't tell me that he is a clutch player. You can't tell me that he knows what the hell he's doing half of the time. And you can't tell me why it is essential to always talk about this guy. Well, if we're going to talk about backups, let's talk about all of them. Let's talk about Kellen Moore and Dallas Moore. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about his days in college. Let's talk about whether or not he should be a fourth-string quarterback. Let's go there. Let's do that. Let's talk about Tom Tupa when the Jets ran out of quarterbacks years ago and their punter threw 2 touchdowns and their punter helped me in fantasy football. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about a punter who I would take today before I took Johnny Manziel. I'm done with it. I don't care where he goes. I don't care what he does. In my opinion, he is not an NFL player, and it is disrespectful to the high school turned college athletes that I know that are with me day in and day out saying, Dan, I'm going to get this. I'm going to live my dreams. I'm going to take care of my mom. I'm going to take care of my dad. I'm going to take care of my grandma. I'm going to take care of my family because I'm going to make it to the NFL. And they don't get a roster spot because that joke has a roster spot. I would gladly put numerous people above Johnny Manziel. Players that I know personally that I would think have earned an opportunity better than a guy who, I used to go out to clubs and I used to party like an idiot. And now that I've gotten this great opportunity from the NFL, I'm going to go out to parties and clubs and act like an idiot. So Johnny Manziel, you're my annoying moment of the week presented by Carvel DeWitt because I don't know what you want from the NFL. I don't know what you think you're getting, but I would venture to say you would be a better reality TV star than an NFL quarterback. And with that, I will take my first break here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, as well as the live feed, mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. When I come back, we'll talk about players that do deserve the respect and the accolades. Players that have an opportunity to go into the Hall of Fame for the NFL is coming up next, as well as Syracuse men's basketball talk and interviews, and who will be showing up inside the Carrier Dome at the halftime of Syracuse's football game. That's all coming up, so follow me on the way back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360-inch TVs, just really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cubans. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo Chicken Wrap.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Mattydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At DreisigApparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Here is Stacy Tanner, owner of Olay Olay, talking about the freshest Mexican food you will find.
Every year as a family, we go to Mexico on vacation, and we love the cuisine. We love the freshness of the food. We can promise you freshly made food. Nothing comes in a package here. We got a bag of rice and a bag of beans, and the rest is all fresh vegetables and meats. We really wanted to represent Mexican cuisine and fresh food, where family and our young people or older people can go have a healthy, good meal. Well, we are located in the Matadale Shopping Plaza. My side faces Woody's Jerkwater, so we are literally neighbors, my husband and I. So we're kind of a side entrance, and that's on Brewerton Road in Matadale. Our phone number is 455-5653 or 455-5-OLE.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com's homepage. You can listen to the live feed, as some of you are doing right now. WakeUpCallDT.com homepage has the MixLR feed that will play live whenever I'm broadcasting, as well as on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT, which is the live feed itself. So, however you're listening, thank you so much. Make sure, if you haven't already, to join free to MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Yes, it is free. There's nothing on it. It takes a few moments to do it. But by joining me free on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT, they will alert you by email every time I go live. So if for some reason you missed the message, it will let you know. And a lot of us with our smartphones these days, when you're walking, going about your life, you will just get a message. You'll see the email. It'll pop up. And all you have to do is go to that email, and you will see that I'm going live at that time. So as you're on the go, it'll tell you I'm live, and then you can listen on your phone. So make sure that you join free on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Before the break, I had the annoying moment of the week where I very gladly went ham on Johnny Football, I would like to say, Mr. Johnny Manziel. And that was proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. Minutes from Manly Field House and the Carrier Dome. And the only place that you can get the Wake Up Call Sunday that has been there for over 3 years. The community, you are awesome. When Floyd Little told me he wanted to go get my Sunday at Carvel DeWitt, that made my life. And every single one of you that goes out and gets it, that makes my life as well. Please understand that. Soft serve, chocolate, vanilla, or a twist, topped off with my two specialties, cookie dough pieces and caramel swirl. So make sure you get out to 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, to Carvel DeWitt. Let them know that I sent you, and enjoy the Wake Up Call Sunday, and let me know what you think. So thank you so much for your support, and thank you to Jay Cartini and his team at Carvel DeWitt, and for their help in bringing the annoying moment of the week to life. Now it is time for me to come off of Johnny Manziel, who I don't think is an NFL player, to honor Hall of Fame potential inductees, and that would be the final 15 modern era players that have an opportunity to be inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2016. So I'm going to go down the list here. Morton Anderson, who was a kicker, Steve Atwater, a safety, Don Coryell, a coach, Terrell Davis, a running back, Tony Dungy, coach, Alan Faneca, a guard, Brett Favre, quarterback, Kevin Green, who played linebacker and defensive end, Marvin Harrison, wide receiver, Joe Jacoby, a tackle, Edrin James, a running back, John Lynch, free safety, Terrell Owens, a wide receiver, Orlando Pace, a tackle, Kurt Warner, a quarterback. Looking at this quick list, I'm going to tell you who I would put in if I was on a committee to decide who would be inducted into the 2016 class for the NFL's Hall of Fame. I would put in Morton Anderson, who was a phenomenal kicker, played for the Saints, as well as the Falcons, the Giants, the Chiefs, and the Vikings. Morton Anderson would be in. Steve Atwater, the safety of the Broncos and the Jets, would be in. Terrell Davis, running back for the Broncos, would be in. His history, his time in the NFL cut short from injuries to his knees, but I mean, this is a man who did so much in such a short amount of time. Terrell Davis would be in. Tony Dungy would be in. Everything that he's done truly has been amazing. I like what he does now as a broadcaster, so Tony Dungy would be in. Alan Faneca, a guard for the Steelers, the Jets, and the Cardinals, put him in. Brett Favre would go in for me, even though, you know, those those alleged phone calls to Jen Sturger and wearing Crocs in a rocking chair and taking some unfavorable photos of yourself, Mr. Favre. But outside of that, good football player, played for the Falcons, the Packers, the Jets, and the Vikings, and obviously many know him. as playing with the Packers from 92 to 2007. I put in Brett Favre. Kevin Green would be in. He was one of those big moments for, you know, Carolina Panthers. His time there was important when they were a young team. He played for the Los Angeles Rams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, San Francisco 49ers. I put Kevin Green in. Edgerrin James, at this point, I leave him off. He had a good start of his career, but not a good career throughout. Terrell Owens, he talked the talk, and most of the time he could walk the walk, but I'm kind of going, I guess maybe right now I'm 51% yes, 49% no. I would put in Orlando Pace, John Lynch. You got to put in John Lynch, Bucks and Broncos. If this man didn't get injured as much as he did, it definitely put him in, but I'd still get him in there. Kurt Warner, working at a grocery store to being an NFL quarterback that's going to the Super Bowl. I mean, is there a better story than Kurt Warner? I don't know. So I would venture to say that he is one of my top, I can honestly say he's one of my top 10 NFL success stories of all time, probably in the top five. So 98 to 2003, played with the Rams, then played with the Giants, and finished up with the Cardinals. He did a phenomenal work with the Rams, and then all of a sudden everybody thinks he's washed up, he's done, he's a backup for the Giants, and then he goes to Arizona and he helps them get to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, Kurt Warner, amazing. He did it with the Rams. He did it with the Cardinals. Many people can't do it with one team, let alone two teams. So I give him all the credit in the world. I love his story. I have his book. Kurt Warner, for me, would definitely go in to the Hall of Fame for 2016. And I did not mention this guy yet. I waited. Marvin Harrison, 1996 to 2008, Indianapolis Colts wide receiver, a former Syracuse alum. How can you not put Marvin Harrison in? Here's the thing. There are some off-the-field issues. There were some things going on. The truth still lies out there somewhere. I don't think it's all out. I don't think a lot of it is out. So, you know, it's hard with Marvin Harrison with everything, what kind of, you know, the circumstances surrounding in which he disappeared from life and football in general. But if you look at his work and you look at what he's done and you hope that some of the stuff, the rumors and whatnot and things that have come out are not true, but Marvin Harrison has been a phenomenal wide receiver. He meant a lot to Syracuse. He meant so much to the Indianapolis Colts, setting records with Peyton Manning. He truly is one of the best, and it's easy to say that. He's one of the best wide receivers, and you got to put him in because of that. You just hope that these off-the-field issues and these problems, that they don't hold up. Because the thing is, what he did off the field or didn't do off the field, there's certain things that if I was sitting on a committee, I'd be honest with you. I know it's the Hall of Fame, Dan, it's the NFL and this and that. But anybody that's listening to the show knows that I don't just care about what you do in sports. I care about how you live your life. So Marvin Harrison, I'd have to ask him a lot of questions. I'd have to get to know him and a lot of things and what he did and know the truth and then go from there. If I was doing it solely based on his play for the Colts, then there's no, he's in 500%. I mean, there's no way I don't put him in. The only thing that makes me kind of go back and forth is, what is the truth of the matter of Marvin Harrison's life in the past few years and what has come of this player? The guy that was in the NFL, love him. How could you not? Just want to make sure that you're putting the right people in there. So I'd want to know more. I'd honestly want to know more. But those are the players that are on, 15 players that are on the 2016 Modern Era ballot for an opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame. Majority of them I would put in, no problem, as you know that I just said. Beyonce back at the Super Bowl. It's true. She was there in 2013, and the lights went out when the 49ers were playing. Ironically, the 49ers are not playing, but she's going to be playing in their stadium. So Beyonce is back. Get your generators ready, and let's see how it goes this time around. Before we finish up here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora's live broadcast, though, I want to make sure that we take a step aside away from the NFL, and we get into the Syracuse interviews that I have coming up for Syracuse basketball. So let me take a step aside here, and when I come back, you and I will be talking about Syracuse basketball and getting these one-on-one interviews with Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, Daywan Coleman, as well as Trevor Cooney. So make sure you spin back around here, but not before listening to my partners that helped to make this show and what I do possible. If it wasn't for these great partners in the community of Central New York and beyond, I wouldn't be able to do what I do the way that I do it. So thank you so much to them. Take a listen to them, and then we'll spin back here, and we will discuss Syracuse basketball and where they stand with the return of Jim Boeheim.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissigLady.com, lady.com, with the bamboo line relax fit clothing as well as the athletic fit clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel, Dreissig Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing, and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. Dreissig Lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's CAMS Pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of game day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York.
Dan, This bouncing on these trampolines is so much fun.
I know. Why didn't we come here sooner?
I don't ever want to leave.
We don't have to. We're kind of doing the commercial like this right now.
And it seems like it's great for all ages.
It is fun for all ages.
I'd like to have my birthday party here.
They have birthday parties here all the time. You can dunk. You can play dodgeball. Wait, Nick, duck! You could go into the obstacle course. There's so many things to do here, Nick. And it's open all year round.
This seems pretty safe, too.
It is safe. It's for people of all ages. You can bring your family here. It's great for your body. It's great to get off some steam. It's great to have a good time. And all you have to do to book an event is call 315-948-3100.
Wait, Dan, what's that number again? I was bouncing.
315-948-3100. 3100.
Actually, is there a website I could go to?
Yeah, the website's getairsyracuse.com. Just like we're doing right now, we're getting some air.
All right, Dan, I'm going to get more air, and then I'm going to go to that website to check out what other fun things I could do with Air Syracuse.
Yeah, you can find out more at getairsyracuse.com. You should really make your way over here. It's located right across from Driver's Village, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero.
Get hopping!
Get air!
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT and on WakeUpCallDT.com's homepage. WakeUpCallDT.com is your one-stop sports shop and so much more for entertainment, sports, and all that you need 24/7. It's always on. You can listen, watch, and read articles. Wake Up Call TV on YouTube. And shows are available to you all the time on WakeUpCallDT.com. Become a member free on the homepage. And make sure that whenever I go live, you've joined free on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. They will send you an email reminder when I am on live so you never miss a moment of the action. As promised, Syracuse basketball, let's get into it. I'm going to make this very clear, very simple. Syracuse has been defeating themselves on the basketball court. It's no disrespect to any of the teams that they played against. I'm just saying that in the last three games, it's been more on Syracuse than it's been on their opponents. Against Pittsburgh, Syracuse had multiple opportunities. Four turnovers in the last 2 minutes is a huge reason why they lost to Pittsburgh. Tyler Lydon being reluctant to shoot. There's a lot of things that happened in that game. Syracuse was not running plays. They were flustered. Turning the ball over, not grabbing rebounds, and then against Miami, you allow almost 50 points in the second half. You allow a team that was 3 for 25 from 3-point beat you. That's Syracuse beating themselves. And then at home against Clemson, Syracuse, if Malachi had made a free throw, then that 3-pointer would have meant nothing. Game would have been over at the end of the game. Free throws matter, rebounds matter. And so the big gaping wounds that I'm seeing with Syracuse right now is that nobody boxes out. I don't know if I've seen that once this season. And Syracuse, instead of grabbing rebounds two-handed, they're doing the volleyball tip. This is not volleyball. There is no net except for the hoop. That's a net. Technically, it's smaller, but you don't need to get anything over it. You have to get something in it. But you don't tip the ball in basketball. You grab it with two hands because if you tip it backwards, you don't know where it's going. And 9 times out of 10, it goes back to the team that's going up against Syracuse. And it ends up being a second chance opportunity, which is how many teams have beaten Syracuse on second chance opportunities. Syracuse is not getting out in transition enough. They're not taking the best shots. They're not utilizing the clock well. They're not running plays well. And on top of all of that, boxing out and rebounding properly are the two biggest gaping wounds to me with this team right now. But they know that. And now it's time for you to listen to other things that they know, things that they have to say, one-on-one, in conversations you won't find anywhere else. And this, I will start first with Daywon Coleman, the center that's found his way back to basketball after being out for 2 years, somebody that I really feel for and want to see improve because it's been such a long time. And when you take a sport away from somebody and it's out of their control, it's very, very difficult. And I don't think anybody can get in his shoes unless you've been in those shoes and know what it feels like to have to watch for so long. He knows he needs to get better. He wants to get better. And this is my conversation with Daywon Coleman, starting off with what he's going to take away from his position coach Mike Hopkins' 9-game interim head coaching stint.
Some of the biggest things that we just got, it's going to be a lot of ups and downs during the season. We just got to stick together and try to turn it around and hopefully keep going, keep working hard in practice and getting ready for North Carolina.
When you look at the fact that obviously, you know, you've been out for the last couple of years and, you know, Rock not being on the inside this season, how important is it for you to take control? Do you feel like it's on your shoulders to be that presence inside that this team needs right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think I definitely need to step up on the defensive end and grab some boards when I'm in there. And I think I need to step up my game. But also, we still need to play together and everything. But I think it's just a process. And if we keep working, I think we got a chance to turn it around.
Where's the disconnect for you when you say you want to get a few more boards? Is it positioning for you? What are you seeing that maybe you need to do better?
Like in the zone, basically probably getting better, getting the better spots to rebound, probably like more in the middle because that's where I just got to read where the ball hit off the rim basically better and just go up and get the boards.
With a guy like Jaron Blossom game that was able to make some good moves in the zone today, what can you attribute that to? What do you feel like you guys weren't doing right that was allowing for Blossom game to kind of navigate a little bit?
Probably pushing them out kind of a little more, but then we still have to stay back for probably the lob. So probably just pushing them out, just being more aggressive down there.
When you look at this team and coming off of, you know, these last few games that have been close, you had a chance against Pittsburgh, had a chance against Miami, had a chance obviously against Clemson. What's the locker room like? Are there any guys after a game like this that are stepping up, trying to kind of corral everybody and bring everybody together? Do you see that leadership at this point?
Yeah, definitely. Because we had a couple of meetings a couple of days ago, and everybody just want to win because a few of the games we was right there, and we kind of let go towards the end of the games, but we all know we're right there, and it's just going to take a little more effort. We're just going to have to keep working hard, and it's going to be a process because we feel like we could have won them games. So we're just going to keep going hard and sticking together.
Where is the leadership coming from? Who are some of those guys that this team looks to at this point?
Trev, Mike, me. I mean, everybody is a leader in some way. Coach, all the coaches talking. I think we're doing a real good job of that. And we just got to understand it's a process. We just got to keep working, though, because it's a long season, and we can't really get down on her. So we're going to have to suck it up and keep working.
Mike Hopkins obviously gave you some more opportunities, some more minutes out there in the 9 games that he was coach. What were your biggest takeaways from that extra time, and do you feel like you've done enough to kind of show Coach Boeheim on film that you should get in the rotation a little bit more?
A little bit. I mean, playing the games, I probably learned a little more stuff that I didn't know probably because I was sitting out, and more game action kind of helped me out a lot. But all that stuff is not really stuff I can control. I just got to keep working every day in practice and still proving to the coaches that I could play. But that stuff I try not to think about too much because that none of that is in my control. I just come to practice, work every day.
Lastly, for me, to look at what you're taking away from these 9 games, do you feel that this team as a whole played the hardest that they could for Mike, and do you feel like you gave it all that you could for Mike?
Yeah, I think as a team, we gave it our all. We just got to close out games a little better, but I think everybody is giving it their all. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that nobody's not, because everybody is.
That coming from Daywon Coleman, who definitely, and he knows, needs to step it up here a little bit more, wants to see some more out of himself. And Boeheim didn't give him a lot of time. He did get time when he was out there, obviously, with Mike Hopkins, his position coach. So going forward, he knows he has to work for it. He feels like he's done what he needs to do to get out there, and we'll see if Boeheim will do that. I don't think Boeheim has a choice. I think he has to get him out there. He has to give him time, because besides Leiden and Coleman, you don't have anybody else to look to inside. Keeping with Syracuse basketball, it's now time to listen to Trevor Cooney and his thoughts when we had a one-on-one conversation following Mike Hopkins' stint, and it starts with that. His takeaways from Mike Hopkins when Mike was the head coach for 9 games for Syracuse.
I mean, Hop's a great coach. He's a great guy. He brings energy every single day. And we're fortunate enough to have a guy like him that could take over and step in and be the head coach. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, it's not a normal thing that programs have to deal with. But I think overall, I mean, I thought he did a great job. Nothing really changed, which was easy for us, for players, to deal with.
Daywon, when I asked him about leadership, he mentioned you and Mike Benajay, and just what you can say about how much you, at this point, you see yourself as a leader and how vocal you feel like you need to be moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, Mike and I are the leaders of this team. I mean, we've got some other guys who I mean, can voice their opinion, and everyone. But yeah, I mean, we're going to definitely see what we're made of the next couple of days and the next couple of games, because, I mean, we need to win. You need to win games. And we got a tough stretch coming up, just like we had. I mean, the ACC is a brutal conference. It's tough to win games, but we got to. And we got a good enough team to win games, so we'll see.
Trevor Cooney right there, my one-on-one conversation with him. And obviously, Trevor has to step it up when he's out there. I mean, this is not something that's not rocket science to people. He scored 12 points, but as much as he's been in double figures the majority of the season, out of every game Syracuse has played in, there's only been 2 times that Trevor Cooney did not attain double figures. But it's just, I mean, it's the 4-for-10s, the 2-for-7s, 4-for-10, 3-for-10, 3-for-12. It's more of the field goal is attempted as opposed, the field goals made to field goals attempted as opposed to the points scored. And, you know, Trevor has, there's so much more to his game than just shooting threes. So I'd like to see him go to the basket more, like he was starting to do last season. And when he is attacking, to trust in that, to have a multifaceted game. And the one thing that I think works great for Trevor is the pump fake and the dribble in and then the shot. People don't know if he's going to the basket or stopping for it to pop up a jump shot. And it's worked in the past. It's worked this season. And I think that he should do something like that again, because he needs to extend his game and do more than just shoot those threes, which he has his moments where he's on, but the pressure shouldn't be on him right now to get it all done. There's plenty of players that can shoot threes on the team now, so it's not all on him. To go to the next person here that is joining me one-on-one for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora from Syracuse is Tyler Leiden. Quiet offensive night versus Clemson, but he hit the shot that made the game 74-73 and gave Syracuse a chance. Referring to that shot, this is what Tyler Leiden had to say and more.
Yeah, Mike just drove, and they drew my man, and, you know, I saw that there was a little bit of space, and I knew with the time on the clock I had to put a shot up.
When you look at that shot, you know, even though you've missed a few, there's been the critique that, you know, you need to shoot it more, you need to do it out there more. Where's your confidence level at, and do you have the confidence to take those shots whenever you need them, not just in a game like tonight?
Yeah, no, I got the shot. I got the confidence to take those shots. You know, it's just something that I got to work on. But you know, just trying to get ready for North Carolina.
After a game like this, losing it the way that it happened, just what is this initial feel? I mean, obviously the sense of the locker room is not very high emotion, but what you can say about it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it sucks, you know. You know, I think I should have made a couple different plays down the stretch defensively, especially at the end. I shouldn't have given up that corner three. That's the one thing that, you know, would have put them ahead or tied it. I mean, and, you know, I gave that up, and I feel like it's just on me. It's just not a good feeling. Obviously, to lose a game like that at home, the first ACC game here at home, you know, we wanted to get that win for not just us, but Coach Hop, everybody.
What can you say about Hop and what he did through the nine games, despite the fact that you're coming out of 4-5? What did you take away from him as the head coach?
I took away a lot. You know, he's a great leader. He's a great coach. You know, really everything stayed the same throughout the team atmosphere and the way we went about things in preparation for games. Really everything was virtually the same as it would have been with Coach Boeheim. But I think he did a great job with us, and it's just unfortunate that we couldn't get that game tonight.
Lastly for me, do you feel like this team played as hard as they possibly could for Mike Hopkins while he was out there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you got the guys in the locker room here that will lay it all on the line to win a game. So,
as I said before, Tyler Lydon has to be the player that takes that shot. Yes, he's a true freshman, but he can shoot from anywhere. As I said before, if you came out and saw my live show with Adrian Autry, we had had the conversation that anywhere on the floor, he trusted Tyler Lydon to shoot when Tyler Lydon was coming in from his high school time. Not when he had already seen him in the gym at Syracuse. He knew from the film, from going out to see Tyler, that this was a guy that could shoot anywhere, and Tyler has to be able to show that. I think that this team can be a lot better with Tyler Lydon taking 9 to 10 shots a game. I truly believe that. And to finish up here with the other Tyler before we wrap up the show, here's Tyler Roberson talking about his game and beginning with our conversation is us talking about how important it was for him to have a strong offensive presence most recently against Clemson.
In the first half, when I had my opportunities, I just tried to be aggressive with it. And then in the second half, I mean, the offense changed a little bit. We shot some more threes and went to the perimeter. So, but, I mean, we were successful with that. But I think we did a good job on offensive.
Earlier on when Mike Hopkins took over, he had stated the fact that he had to make sure that he had a plugged-in Tyler Roberson that was always charged. Do you feel like at this point in the season that you're charged up and that you have the energy that you need going into each game?
I mean, I feel like I have the energy in every game. I feel like it's just a matter of me playing consistently or not, and I think it's little things like maybe missing a layup or here and there every game, and when I get that all together, it's just a matter of that. I don't think it's a matter of me being like ready or not every game.
What is it when you miss a shot or if something goes wrong? Is it more of just you trying to get out of your own head when you're out there, you know, not being too hard on yourself? What would you attribute to when you do struggle out there?
I mean, it happens. It's part of the game. I mean, I want to be a consistent player, and I know I will be. I think I've been playing a little bit more consistent lately, and it'll come. But when I make mistakes, I just got to keep playing. Got to play through it.
Your jump shot is something that obviously you've been working on, and you utilize it against Clemson. How confident are you in taking that mid-range shot when you need to?
I'm really confident. I mean, I've been working on it, and if it's there, I got to take it. And if you hesitate or think about it, you're going to miss it. So it's something that I know I just got to be confident and I can make it.
Bring me into that last play that the foul didn't happen and Clemson ends up getting that three off. Just what Hop had said, did he tell you guys to foul? Just what was going on there?
You mean the last play on our shot?
The last play on their shot, the one that tied it to go in overtime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we tried to extend the defense and make sure they didn't get any threes, but they got the ball in the corner off of the pass from the big guy because when he caught the ball, we dropped down. And I mean, the guy, he still made a tough three in the corner. It was a really tough shot, but it was a tough shot. I give him credit.
When you look at overtime and how it all went down, what can you say about looking at this team coming out of this overtime? What was left on the court, in your opinion, losing by one?
Our team?
Yeah, for your team.
I mean, we've been playing hard. Like I think it shows that we have fight, and we're going to start winning games eventually. But we just got to close out games. And it's like the last couple minutes, last 5 minutes. I think every game is going to be like this probably throughout the rest of the year. So we just got to find ways to win.
What would you attribute to that the Pittsburgh game, Miami, as well as Clemson, the struggles that happen late in games, where is it coming from in your mind as far as this team goes?
I think it's different things. I think, like, Pittsburgh, it was a defensive breakdown. Miami, it was turnovers on late in the game. And today it was just us giving up that three in the corner. So it's different things. I think we just got to find ways to win late in games, basically.
more before I let you go, Jaron Blossom game, just what you can say about his play inside and how he was able to kind of navigate the 2-3 zone. Did you guys feel like you were playing maybe too far up on the wings? Or what did you kind of take away from his game and knowing that he was able to kind of sneak inside a little bit?
He made some really good plays. Like, he finished some really good moves and plays inside, and I give him credit, but I mean, yeah, we should have did a better job of taking that away.
Mike Hopkins, 4-5 while he was the head coach. Do you feel that this team played as hard as they possibly could for him? And secondly, what did you think about him as a coach when he took over the team as a whole?
Yeah, definitely. I think he did a really good job. Like, there was like four close games that he coached, and that could have easily went the other way. So I think he did a really good job, and I don't think there's much more he could have done. I really liked playing for him while he was head coach, and I think he did a great job.
Did you feel like this team gave it all they could for Mike in this 9-game span?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we went hard. Just a lot of close games. We ended up losing at the end, but I think we gave it our.
That coming from Tyler Roberson, the third-year forward for the Syracuse Orange, who has those games where he comes out striking. You know, Mike Hopkins said he needs to be plugged in, and as you heard Tyler Roberson say, he doesn't think it's about that or having to necessarily be plugged in. He doesn't think he's ever unprepared for a game, but you see different types of Tyler Roberson. There's the Tyler Roberson that is quiet, you forget he's on the court, and then you see the Tyler Roberson that can go out and affect the game and truly be strong for this team, both in rebounding as well as getting after it when it comes to putting shots back up, going in the lane. Syracuse needs a post-up guy. They need somebody who's going to catch the ball, make a quick decision, and turn around. Right now, they don't have that. Tyler Roberson has to show he can shoot the ball, has to show he can go inside, has to be effective in the paint, and has to get after those rebounds. It's a lot to say, but he's a Division I college basketball player, and the time to show it was yesterday. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You've been listening live on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt and on the wakeupcalldt.com homepage. Wakeupcalldt.com is the hub of everything centered around Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and my coverage of where sports meets life. You can listen, watch, and read on wakeupcalldt.com. Plenty of shows as well as videos and articles. It's a place for you, whether you like radio, TV, or the newspaper. It fulfills all those needs, and it is available to you every day, all the time, no matter when. First shift, third shift, second shift. If you're working, not working, on vacation, with the family, with friends, hanging out by yourself, the show is always available, and you can download wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile is where you get the Wake Up Call DT free app. So make sure you go and download that, as well as the Larger Than Life app, which is the entertainment show that's also under Dan Tortora Broadcast Media. You can download Larger Than Life by going to largerthanlifedt.podbean.com/mobile. As promised, big news for you here, and I'm very proud to announce that Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora will be going live, but not just every once in a while. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, as you know, for those of you that come out to Orange Crate, I do live shows on site there, and I've also done live shows throughout the community in Cam's Pizzeria, as well as Carvel DeWitt, and there are more to come, ole ole, but there will be live shows from my studio every single week, starting here in February 2016. I will officially launch a slate that will stay current every single week, so you will be able to set a time and set a place and be ready to listen to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. So thank you to everybody that's been listening to the live feed as I've integrated it into all of my work here with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You will now be able to hear the show live from my studio every single week, beginning in February. There will be a schedule that you can find by going to wakeupcalldt.com. So look up for that coming up very soon. For now, you'll be able to hear live shows, see me on site at Orange Crate Brewing Company, and keep in touch with me on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt and at calldt on Twitter, C-A-L-L-D-T. Make sure you go there and to wakeupcalldt.com to get current news and be the first to hear about it. And if you want to go to my mailing list, by joining wakeupcalldt.com, you will be emailed when big news comes out. So, like I said, starting in February 2016, just in time for Valentine's Day and all the love in the air, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora will have an official weekly live schedule broadcast that you can listen to every single week. So make sure you look out for that. I'm ecstatic to bring that to you. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your love and your respect. And I look forward to talking with you soon. For now, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. God bless, be well, and take care of yourself.